Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John reads some listener emails and gets his writing into the Bible, but not like a heretic, we promise. Meanwhile, I'm starting to fear artificial intelligence, and I tell the story of the craziest coincidence ever. Plus a conversation about how tolerance and compromise is actually rooted in early Christianity. Today's episode is not sponsored by Botox. Your face will raise some eyebrows, just not your own. Those are paralyzed now. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny is the Bantertown crew, and you can be too. Talk about that.
If you only knew what he did for you.
Christ died on a tree to set you free.
Don't you see?
Are you sure?
Christ died, don't you see?
To set you free. This is like, is that a new thing or is that?
That's Heaven Bound.
Heaven Bound.
We're going way back with that one.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's like, by the time they were getting ready to hang it up, they weren't even doing Heaven Bound anymore. It was cringe to them, and that was the hit that like broke them.
Yeah.
That's when you know. Can you imagine? I always think that's interesting. Bands that become a big deal because of a song that they end up hating, and they have to play it.
Can you think of who else has to do that?
Oh, gosh, there's tons. The biggest example in to me is Radiohead hates the song Creep.
Wow.
They hate it. So they used to make their openers play it.
Oh, wow.
They go, please play Creep so we don't have to play it.
Wow.
This is my English, my petulant English voice. Please, we don't want to go out there. Wow. We hate that bloody song. So they'd make the other people play it. They go out there and play it, and they go, you heard the song? So they would just do their new whatever, everything off their brand new album. The fans would be disappointed. But
wow.
And I think if you're a true Radiohead person, you sympathize with them because you've learned to hate it. You're like, well, that doesn't represent. It's like people that like Nirvana that only know Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Right.
Real Nirvana fans roll their eyes at those people because they go, In Utero is the best record, blah, blah, blah. They go, but listen, it's whatever.
Right.
Music is music.
Like, this is the, but still.
Yeah. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I think Switchfoot, who is one of our favorites, obviously, we've talked about them before and worked with them, but. Closely. No, we opened for them way back in the day. But I will say that John Foreman, I've seen articles with him where he's like, we've been really lucky. We really love our songs. We like playing the old songs.
All of them.
Yeah. So he said, we don't really have anything that we're like, we hate and secretly hate and the fans love. And we have to like, you know, just humor
Interesting.
Them. So
if we had to redo our songs, there'd be ones.
Yeah, we have songs that definitely would be. We're cringy.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. No, I mean, come on, man.
I did the best I could.
We've had that conversation before of like, if you live your life afraid to do anything that might be considered cringy in the future, you will do absolutely nothing. Because everything ages poorly.
It does.
Including people. But enough about you, John.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Like, comedy is a great example. Comedy ages very poorly, and not just because of like political correctness.
Yeah.
Comedy ages poorly because things become hack, and hack means like hackneyed, meaning like jokes about airline peanuts or rental cars or whatever. Like, they become very, everybody makes it. Like, especially now with the internet, it's so fast. Everybody's made a joke, the same joke about something that just happened on live television. Like, when the Will Smith slap happened.
Yeah.
There were a million jokes immediately, whereas in the old days, a comedy club stand-up comic could make 5 years out of jokes about that. You can't do that anymore, so it's very fast. So it ages very fast.
Yeah.
And you have to just be okay with that. Like, I'm going to take a swing here, and knowing that 5 years from now, I'm not going to be able to do this joke.
Right.
And that wasn't always true. But you can't refuse to make that joke just because you're afraid of something being cringe in the future. Just go be cringe. Go be your cringe self.
Yeah, I think about that when I write serious things like on racism and things like that. Like how, and we wrote that in the book, like terms are going to keep changing.
Yeah.
Concepts are going to keep changing. This is really about having a mind to be open to that, because you could probably pick something out that we're going to say, that Reggie mm-hmm. and I are going to say, and 5 years from now go, that didn't age well. But, or like to your point, or we sit back in this really important moment in American history and say nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which are you least comfortable with?
Right.
Like doing something that might be cringe futurely in the future, or like you just do nothing and then, yeah, you look like somebody who just sit on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You're in the background of the Ruby Bridges photo.
Right.
You're just in the background, standing there. Listen, I don't. You can't tell if I was cheering or not. I'm just there. It's like,
yeah.
I don't love that. I wouldn't want to be in that photo.
No. No. You know? No, and that's the hard part, man. Again, it's like, it's not activism. It's, I think, just presentism.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how do you be present in a moment without making it about you? That's the other thing. You know, I wanted that book to be about Reggie and his story. And so it's centered around, and I think me writing that without a co-author who has a story that is more relevant to the issue would have been, it'd have been easy just to get into the, hey, let me tell you what I think about this kind of thing, you know?
It's like somebody commented on one of my videos one day, and it was such a funny comment to me. They said, this guy's cringe. He's a try-hard.
Hmm.
I was like,
what does that mean?
That literally, you make fun of people now for looking like they're trying to get laughs. Like, that's what a comedian is.
Right.
I'm sorry if it looks like I'm trying hard.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Like, they just sense like, this guy is out here trying to get people to laugh. What a loser. Like, what a weird comment.
That is a strange comment.
It didn't bother me. And listen, comments will get to me. But that one didn't bother me. I was like, this person, I'll never win this person over.
And the irony is they're trying hard to get under your skin or get some traction with a negative comment, right, if they're even a real human in the first place.
Yeah.
But how creative and clever are the robots with their
I don't know.
Takedowns?
They're getting better. That's the thing, is like these bots, it's hard to tell anymore. So it's getting weird. It's getting weird out there.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about on the show about not being alarmists,
uh-huh,
because that's the key thing to do now. It's just that's the culturally thing to do right now, is like just be freaked out about everything and everything's the end of the world. And we kind of try to come on and be like, all right, guys, let's right, be. But the AI stuff is starting to weird me out. The idea of like I follow a TikTok account. It's called Obscurist Vinyl, I think. I don't know how it ended up in my For You, but I think somebody sent me a few of these, and they're just AI generated music.
Hmm.
And it's so good.
And isn't it perfect?
It's so good and funny and weird. No, it sounds like you can make it sound vintage and you can make it sound whatever you want. And so, and it's just ironic. And it's the kind of humor that like people like now. They want something that's really out of the blue and weird. And so this kind of scratches that itch. And I just think, are we getting ready to get all of our art from computers? And be okay with it.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Matrix. We're eating the steak and we don't care that it's not a real steak. Like, we're just like, yeah, but I like this now.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, that's a little bit, it's again, it's alarmist, but I just think we're heading there. We're on the outskirts of it.
Well, I mean, there was a Christian, I want to say she's an influencer, and AI, someone made a deep fake. This was an article.
Yeah.
About, it was an ED med, and it's her in her bedroom where she normally shoots her stuff.
Holy moly.
And she's talking about, she's selling a product. She's like talking about her husband's ED.
Holy moly.
And it looks just like her where she normally is, her voice, the whole deal. And people started sending it to her, and she's like, guys, I didn't record that.
Wow.
That's not an ad that I mean.
Yeah. The deepfakes is getting really weird. But I think what will happen is, it's not that deepfakes will be taken as real in the future and cause war, it's that no one will think anything is real.
Right.
And it'll give us an excuse to think like, well, we already do it. We already say, well, I just saw this story, and they go, where did you see it? And if it's the mainstream media, and they've decided that every mainstream media story is out to get their favorite candidate or whoever, they just discount it. So we already are living in a weird, like, you can define your own truth. We live in alternate universes.
Well, yeah, it's going to be the moment where, and it's happening already, if someone does something they shouldn't do and they can just cry, if they're an influencer or they're a politician, they can just say, well, that was fake. Yeah. Fake news reported on that. That's out of context. But it's going to get to the point where they say, no, 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 I actually didn't say that. That's deep fake. Deep fake news. And you go,
Deep fake news. And, it's coming.
And now they could be believed because.
And who is who's going to verify? Because there will be ways to verify whether something is a deep fake. But then will those people fall under the influence of, like.
They'll say, well, yeah.
Well, you paid that guy off to say. It's almost like the guy on SVU or whatever, and he's the expert for the defense.
Yeah.
But he's paid for by the defense. So it's like he's going to have an opinion.
If someday the government has some sort of agency, which I could see this, not because I want regulation, but because I could see for the sake of truth, right, that someone out there has the algorithm to tell you if that was made by an algorithm, you know, or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, if that whoever's in office at the time, the other side will just claim.
They're in the pocket of AI.
This is the deep state now with their deep fake. Deep state, deep fake.
Deep state, deep. Try saying that.
Well, we do sound like a conspiracy theory podcast.
We do, and it's weird, but the main problem, of course, is that we have 85-year-olds deciding the future of something they don't understand and will not be around long enough to see the implications of it.
Yeah.
So, like, they're deciding on something they don't understand. They barely understand email. And they also are not going to be around to see the unintended consequences of their legislation. So, it's all in all awful. We need more 35-year-olds. Like, we have kids in our church. We have people who are on staff at our church who I would call kids, but they're in their late 20s, early 30s. They're the ones who need to be deciding what happens with AI, because they can really see the end of it, or they can at least see the edge of the end of it.
Yeah,
more than we could.
I work with those people, and I got to tell you something. I think you're giving them way too much power.
Oh, you think that there's this will do all our work for us? This is perfect.
I'm just kidding. Our staff's amazing.
Well, somebody was talking about that on Twitter. They said, I was hoping AI would be doing my laundry and my dishes for me so that I could go make art. Not that AI would be making art for me, and so I would have all this time to do laundry and dishes. And it's true. It's like, it's funny, but it's also like, it is. It's like, we have screwed up.
Yeah.
We're going to have AI making art, and we're going to be like, well, what are we going to do? Like, all the artists are going to be out of work.
Like, I saw a commercial for Grammarly the other day for business, which I do. I have a Grammarly thing now, but I usually turn it off. It bugs me to death because it's
funny that Grammarly's not even a word,
right?
And it's a program to find bad grammar.
But I can't even type a text without it trying to tell me all the ways I should type it differently or whatever.
Boy.
But the commercial I saw, it was like, we have this deadline and we don't want to do it. And okay, everybody, we have till 4 o'clock. Because they get Grammarly to write the email to push the meeting, and then it keeps saying. Gives you options, be more assertive, be more direct, and you just push it, it rewrites it, and then more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the only issue with that is you haven't learned how to be more assertive and direct in writing now. Like, you're not actually growing as a writer in business, which I understand.
Unless you observe that change and you go, oh, that is more assertive, and then you kind of log that in your own mindset of like, that would be more assertive in the future to do it that way.
Yeah.
But if you're just letting it doing a hit send.
Right.
You know,
like someday you're
without even looking at it, without even glancing.
Someday you'll
have
to be in a real meeting with these people that you're sending it to, and will you?
And again, we sound a little bit like old man of the clouds, like these generations are not going to grow up needing to. Like, I'm trying to temper that with like, I get it, but also, I'm starting to see, because we always thought, well, AI, it'll look robotic, like the early days of ChatGPT. They'd be like, I made this sermon with, here's my sermon with AI, and you could tell. It was a little bit like one of those spam emails you would get where the language was a little bit off and you go, this was a computer. That now we're getting into where you see things and you go, this was good. And it made me uncomfortable to see something good that was done by a computer. Because you go, well, if it's already good, how long before it's better than what we could do?
What's interesting, though, is...
Are we going to sense that there's no soul behind it, though? And then there'll be a huge onslaught of people that go, I don't love that, and they turn from it. We've talked about that. Is there going to be, like Sadie's generation, are they going to turn against the soullessness of technology in a way?
I do believe there is a, I don't know what they'll call themselves, there's an analog movement coming.
Yeah.
It won't be truly disconnected from digital things. It'll just be the name they use, but it'll be a...
It's just hard once you get to a place of comfort and privilege, like, to be like, but I'm going to just totally... put this aside.
But
for
you
a
want your brain to work. Like you at do. Some point, you want your brain to work.
You
right?
do, and there's still people who love to go out into the woods and camp and hike and like some a lot of like we act like everyone's in their grandmother's basement playing video games, and it's not true.
Right.
There's still a lot of people who are going for runs on trails, and they're right. getting vitamin D somewhere. You know what I mean? So I think right. I mean, it's happening. National parks are still full of people. Every time I go to a national park, it's full of people.
You know that I have my fingers on the pulse of the American culture.
Yes.
You're aware of that.
That's what this show's about.
It is. You know what else the show's about, Johnny?
What's that?
The partnerships. The friendships, you know? And we have a lot of friends of the show. And I think we should take a moment and hear a few.
When I said, by the way, when I said soulless earlier, I didn't mean any of our fine sponsors.
Take a moment to hear the soulful reflections
stylings,
from a few of our sponsors. We're back.
And we're back.
We're back. Hey, Johnny, you know what? We've been getting a lot of emails lately.
Yeah, it's great. And if you want to send us an email, John, how would they do that?
They would send an email to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com, or they can just go to the website, talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
That's where you can also click on the upper right-hand link if you want to get ad-free content. You can support the show there. We love our patrons so much. But they're down there below in the bottom right-hand corner is a little voice bubble, and that sends a direct email to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
It does.
We've been getting a lot of emails. We appreciate those. It lets us know, you know, what you like, what you don't like. Most people are nice.
Yeah, we get very few bad ones, but I love it when they connect with something we talked about. Like Colette wrote to us. She did a lot of nice things. The title was "Y'all Are the Best." You know what? She gets it.
She,
you know what
if
I'm
you
saying?
Start an email like that, we'll probably read it.
I'm not gonna read all of it, but just she listens every week, and she has her AirPods in and laughing hard. And so she said that we sounded in this last episode like an old married couple.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That hurt a little bit. But she said, it, because she was laughing, so her husband thought she was crazy. But she did say we talked about the Lord of the Landfill,
mm-hmm.
and that her brother retired, and he actually took a job as a gatekeeper at one of the local landfills.
It's a real job.
Yeah. And that she's pretty sure that he was the one telling Johnny that he can't bring his paint.
Yeah. You gotta be none shall pass, no paint.
But that he's actually really kind, nice guy. And she let him listen to it on vacation, and he loved the episode. So maybe we gained another
it's
listener.
Wild, though. You do. You have all this paint that you can't get rid of, and then it just sits in your garage. And then that's what happens. When we die, when you die, John, Sadie's going to have to come figure out what to do with all your paint.
Yeah.
You
she
know what
inherits
I'm
it.
It just, and then she's going to, oh, great, now I have this paint. And she'll have it until this is what's happening.
Yeah, I told
we
you
just,
there was like
we're just accumulating paint until we die.
I told you there was like a chemical turn-in thing at the dump the other day I saw. A special Saturday thing. And it had all the stuff you can bring except paint. It's like, what?
We're spreading this on walls. How is it that bad? Like, we don't want it. It's horrible. But it's all around us, coated onto
paint
everything
stores.
We have.
Johnny, this is AI, bro.
It is.
Tom wrote in and listens to the podcast, found it late last year, has been hooked on it ever since. Thank you, Tom. And he made an interesting observation that our new segment, they talked about that. That the music sounds similar.
No, your quote segment.
Right, they talk about that.
Yeah,
is the quote segment.
Yeah. Oh, news segment. I thought you said news. Go ahead.
No, the news segment is you, and that's talk about then.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anywho, he said that the music sounds similar or the same to the Hunger Games, where they announce the deaths of the fallen tributes and show their faces in the sky.
That's heavy, and also would get us sued. But didn't you say it sounds close, but not quite?
So we're using. I haven't compared the two directly, but we're using a royalty free.
Yeah, because we're cheap.
Right.
So it's somehow it's different enough, but they were mimicking maybe that
possibly, or it could be. Possible that the Hunger Games also used royalty free.
Wouldn't that be something?
But
I would doubt it.
But that's a great observation.
Either way, we've not been approached by a cease and desist, so we're pretty sure some algorithm would go find it. If it was close enough, they'd be like, hey, stop using this. So,
yeah.
And now they will that we've said it.
Right. Now we've
invited.
Thank you, Tom, for helping us bring that.
If the music has totally changed a couple episodes from now, you're going to know that you caused it.
Right. Tom, you better become a patron after that.
We need to help buy the new music.
Now, Tom, thanks
It'd be great to get some user submissions for some music for some segments. I have a segment idea, and I'll talk about it next week. I think you're going to like it.
Okay. Hey, Tom, thanks for the email. Paul reached out, enjoyed the latest podcast, and he was talking about how we were talking about PFR, the old group, and how he said they're truly underrated and ahead of their time. And Paul, then he showed us that we could follow them on Instagram because they did some live gigs and working on an album.
Oh, that's great to hear. Paul is actually a musician himself, I believe. I follow him on Twitter, and he's a very eclectic person. I like Paul.
Yeah.
So I need to look up his data and see, like, because he sent us a couple of emails over the years. He's a longtime listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time writer to us.
First time
emailer.
Emailer.
And then Dana reached back out again and talked about driving a truck in Arizona. And that,
which we assumed that Dana was like an over the road trucker, like a long haul trucker, but she is a.
She drives a garbage truck.
She drives a garbage truck.
Which I think is amazing.
That's great.
I really want to do. I think I'd love that job.
I just want to push that button and smash all the stuff.
You know, we have the garbage truck on our street that comes by, which we don't do that. I take mine in the pickup truck to the dump, which is where all the stories come from. But I love the one with the big robotic arm.
Yeah, got to have that.
That picks it up. That's the job, man, right? Well, I'm sure it's still a really hard job.
I wonder if Dana listened to the episode where I talked about digging up the huge boulders of concrete in my yard that the builders were planting, you know, they just lay sod over
top. It was the boulder that the builders rejected. Wait.
It was. So there's this gigantic mounds of a huge of concrete that I dug up, and I didn't know what to do with it, because what do you do with a big thing of concrete? I threw it in my trash bin, which you're not supposed to do.
And then someone came.
Well, they had to come, and I thought, well, they're not even able to pick up. That robotic arm's not going to be able to, it just picked it up like it was nothing.
Like it was
and
nothing.
It was hundreds of pounds of concrete.
Wow.
And I was like, but that's not good for that little button with it, where it compacts. You can't compact. So I may have broken the, I'm sorry, Dana.
Yeah.
I'm the problem.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if she listened to that and thought, you people.
You.
That would make her stop listening to the show, maybe.
Actually, she became a patron.
Well.
And we really appreciate that.
We do.
It means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for helping out. So anyway, hey, maybe you could, there's one more here. Mark wrote to us. Found our podcast and enjoys the format and says he enjoys because we're less structured. See, Johnny, you're always worried about it.
I'm not worried. I just...
He says he loves our friendship. Oh, I love our friendship too,
people
Johnny.
Are buying this.
Your conversations are natural, not pushed. It's a great balance in comedy and serious-ish material. And enjoy John's quotes. Well, of course. I appreciate that. And Johnny's history lessons.
Thank you.
And the episode he pointed out something I think that people miss a lot.
Okay.
That this episode is not brought to you by or is not sponsored by.
Not sponsored by.
Johnny writes those every week. And they're funny. I think you should incorporate somehow into your gig, maybe into the tweet song.
I thought about doing that at my comedy shows, like having comedy segments, just like having an advertisement. That was the original idea, was having segments of the comedy show not sponsored by.
Not sponsored by. I mean, you have 300 of them now.
That's true. I could choose like the best five and just make the show go that way.
They're good every week.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, thank you guys for writing, though, man. Keep those cards and letters coming. Stretch your hands towards the screen. I don't know. Is that too much? I don't know. So,
John, it's time for your quote of the week.
Johnny, I think it is time for the quote of the week.
Let's crank up that royalty-free music.
Let's do it. This little segment we call They Talked About That.
Oh, you went low.
I went low that time.
That's good.
I would like to read sort of a passage again.
Okay.
That's from Dallas Willard.
Yeah.
Okay. In disagreement and discord, we also follow Christ's example of seeking peace, of being slow to anger and quick to listen. Additionally, concepts such as acceptance and tolerance, religious or otherwise, find significant support in the teachings of Jesus. They are important topics in contemporary life. Toleration of others is part of what was lost in the rise of secular morality, which coincided with an increase in negative attitudes towards Christian virtue in the academy and government. The fact that Christians are regularly thought to be closed-minded, dogmatic, and intolerant is certainly justified in some cases, yet this attitude is also highly ironic since the very tradition of tolerance in the Western context is accentuated in the Christocentric worldview. Just a simple count of the tolerant societies in the world today gives some clue as to the power of the applied moral teachings of Christ and their benefit to the world. If self-professed Christians are being aggressively and consistently intolerant, they are certainly not emulating the example of Christ or the traditions and teachings of Christianity. Much trouble and confusion about these matters can often be attributed simply to mislabeling, quote-unquote, Christians who are not or not often not Christ-like. However, this lamentable fact should not impugn Jesus or his teaching on tolerance. This is very interesting. This is from The Divine Conspiracy.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, that's an older book. So, I mean, he's writing at a time, I think if he was writing today, what he would say about this issue. But tolerant in the Christian world, and this is Dallas Willard, one of the premier theologians of our time. But he's using a word that has become a real bad word in Christianity, because what it means to most people in the Christian circles is compromise.
Yeah.
Right. Which also is a dirty word.
Right.
Now, so compromise is a dirty word in government all of a sudden. And mm-hmm. Laura and I, you know, Senator Joseph Lieberman passed away this week.
Yeah.
And Laura and I talk all the time about the days when Lieberman, he was a Democrat, and I believe he became an independent mm-hmm. by the end of his career. But Lieberman was during a time where he and John McCain, who was Republican, would constantly work together to co-sponsor bills.
Yeah.
Like it was this true bipartisanship. And we're telling Sadie about it. And she goes, really? Like, did they like each other? I said, yeah. Like back then it was okay to be a Republican and a Democrat and to actually compromise.
Yeah.
And to work together and be tolerant of the fact that you both see the way. They didn't agree on the policies often, but they would find something they did agree upon.
Right. And get things moving.
Yeah. Build something that everybody could agree upon where everyone loses some, but everyone gains something better. And I just think if you pull that into the Christian context, like you're a snowflake now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tolerant of someone who sees the world differently than you, or you have to, like, it's like to even tolerate their presence or a conversation with them is suddenly now to compromise your morals or principles. When again, I think Willard's point is actually tolerance was a huge part of Christianity's moral systems, which supposedly, I don't know, people will claim today that much of what we do as government or as people was modeled after.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've kind of like thrown out, I'm going to use my term, baby Jesus with the bathwater here a little bit. Like we're literally at a place in life where we claim a Christian principle, but we claim it by an unchristian principle, according to an unchristian principle. We use unchristian principles to try to enforce mm-hmm. Christian principles.
Yeah.
And I just think we're backwards. That's the irony of it all. Like if you're being intolerant towards someone, and I'm not saying we think that means I have to be in agreement. It doesn't mean that at all. Tolerance is an acceptance of it's respect is what it is really. And it's coexistence. And I know that's another, you know, again, wordy dirty, but I can say, cause I don't agree with a ton of things, but to say I can't work with you or
right.
can't, you know, especially in government or even in the church. And we just did a whole series on the creeds to say, hey, you know, you might be Pentecostal, Anglican, Calvinist, Arminian,
right.
Presbyterian, Catholic, or a hundred other things. Like if we, the apostles would say, if we all agree to these things,
right, there's still common ground.
Right. Then we agree on the things that are most important, even if we disagree on a lot of other things. So I don't know. Just a thought today, Johnny.
It's good stuff, John. And,
I didn't give you a chance to talk. I'd love to hear your reflection.
Maybe,
on this.
No, I don't. I just,
I'm intolerant of your foolishness.
You should be. I mean, I've learned a lot about tolerance by just being on this show. Honestly.
You do tolerate a lot.
It's seasoned me.
It has.
In a lot of ways.
Well, 304 episodes will do that.
It's too many.
It's
we're going to wrap it up at 305.
Just be done.
Remember when the Superstation, everything was at 05? Do you wonder why they did that? You know, they would have shows come on at 705 and 605.
You know why?
I think you know what I used to think?
What?
And then maybe it's not true, but I would think you could start watching another show and then be like, I'm going to turn this on, and you wouldn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't. I wonder if they staggered it on purpose.
I want to guess it had to do with if a show went over.
You think it had that?
So
they could plan for that.
Well, what if it had, if it was a live show?
I don't think they do it anymore, but I just remember watching like wrestling and it'd be on at 7:05 or
if it was the
Saved by the Bell. It was 6:05 on the Superstation.
But it was the Superstation.
Yeah.
TBS Superstation?
We're really old. Yeah, TBS.
Yeah.
Turner, that's what I'm saying. Turner's the one that did it, 7:05.
What made it a Superstation?
That's just what they called it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
All these years I thought, man, there's something really special
it's super.
About that. Yeah. I wonder how to do with ads. If they wanted the best time, so people are going to start watching at 7.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure that the ads get watched first. But the joke's on them because you just waited till 7:05.
Well, I think the other show wasn't off the air yet because it had started at 6:05.
Interesting.
Anyway, we're going to end at 3:05, so
yeah,
be ready for that.
Be ready for that.
This last one's going to be humding. We still need to do the live one. We haven't done a live podcast.
I love it when you keep bringing up things that we're not going to do.
But I'm always afraid of, because people have asked for it, but I'm afraid of doing it and nobody comes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my my social media people are always like, you need to do more Facebook Lives and you need to do an Instagram Live.
Yeah,
like,
no one shows up.
What if I turn it on and they do not come for me?
There's that feeling as a pastor of, I'm about to walk out there.
Uh-huh.
And what if, like, no one's there today?
Wouldn't that be something? Dude, I heard the craziest, so I'll get into my This Week in History, but there's a TikTok series where they say, what's the craziest coincidence you ever heard of? And people like do what's called a stitch. So mm-hmm. a stitch is like a trend on, when you see a trend happening on TikTok and you'll just stitch your video onto the end of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So like, tell me a craziest coincidence you ever heard of. And then people will stitch their thing on. And this guy did one. He goes, you won't top this one. And he may be right. So it was, I'll mess it up. I could just play the video, but then we'll get sued probably.
Yeah.
But it was basically, he's telling the story of 19 something something. It's this little country church and they have choir practice every Sunday night, at this certain time. And, they said they were always prompt, and that was a big deal to be prompt and on time for choir practice. But on this particular night, Anna Mae so-and-so, you know, she had spilled something on her dress and she had to, you know, clean it. So she was a little bit late. She goes down the list, you know, Bob Watson, he couldn't get his wife and child ready in time and they were late. So it was all these people. So every one of them, 15 people, were late for different reasons. And it was the archive of the story that he was reading. And he goes, at 7:15, the church burst into flames from a leak in a gas pipe.
No way.
But he goes, because the church was completely empty, no one was harmed. But all 15 of them were late for completely differing reasons. So it was one of those, like, do you believe in divine intervention? Do you believe in coincidence? Like, it was pretty wild, right? Because, I mean, there have been a lot of disasters where you go, if you believe in divine intervention, why did these people explode then? But so you just go, like, what a wild. But it was like he knew all 15. He named all 15 reasons why the people weren't there. And they all missed being, like, burned alive in this church. And I was like, what a wild thing. Do you believe, have you ever had a coincidence like that or a wild thing where you go, I could have been here?
It happened. We were coming home from Christmas, I think, and we hit this big traffic jam. I think I talked about this. And the car was on empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting here, and we got the air turned off, like we got the windows, you know, or the heat turned off, and I got my mom with us, and I'm literally stuck in hours. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to have to run to the next exit, so I'm getting ready for that. We make it to the next exit,
mm-hmm.
you know, coasted on fumes. I get the fuel. But we get stopped again. Something happened. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I know what it was, because we stopped for gas and we spent some extra time there. And we look up and there's another wreck.
Yeah.
Right where we would have been.
Huh.
Like, that happens to me all the time where I'm like, I can't believe there's traffic. And then I come up on something like, oh, I do the math.
Yeah.
I would have been, if I hadn't had that extra, someone got had right. stopped for that extra potty break or whatever, and I was mad about it.
Yeah, there's a theory in, I don't know what you would call it. It's a theory that I've seen online. It's called burnt toast theory. And it's about, like, you burned the toast, you get mad about it, but the time that you spend making that extra toast to replace the burnt toast is the time that you would have already been on the road in mm-hmm. the car wreck or in the thing. So you've set time back. So you were supposed to burn the toast.
Yep.
You don't know the things that you don't know.
I try to do that on the road now.
Burn toast?
I do, all the time.
It's weird. It's unsafe, honestly, to have a toaster in the car. But
you gotta do what you gotta do.
You do what you have
to. It's right there in the Bible. It's the toaster's Bible.
John, you're in a Bible right now.
Hey, speaking of.
This is so funny because we're kind of, it's Holy Week and Trump's like shilling Bibles, and I've felt some kind of way about that. But then I walk in today and John goes, well, guess who else has a Bible? And it made me laugh.
It did. I'm holding it here. If you're watching on the YouTube.
Yeah.
So oddly enough, this is a new Bible coming out that I wrote an excerpt for, and this is the Men's Daily Bible.
And so they have different devotions and stuff like throughout that they just kind of intersperse.
Yeah. The new Men's Daily Bible, it's a CSB version.
Yeah.
And so, the general editor.
Gospel According to John Driver.
Am I right?
LLC.
General editor is Robert Wolgemuth, who is like my grandfather in publishing.
Yeah.
Like he was my agent for years and years. He's retired technically. And so his two nephews and then their partner, Austin, who's still my agent today, just the best. It's Wolgemuth and Wilson is what they're called now. But God just, it really is one of those things like just God put this guy in my life, and he's just been so kind to
me. You're right in the center, too. It's like you open it right up. It's like, you're right there, man.
Yeah.
Right in there. What book is it
Psalms.
Off of? It's right off of Psalms. That's where you want to be, man. You're a songwriter.
He had asked me, as one of the contributors, to write, because he likes the funny stuff mm-hmm. that I've written. So he loved the Tim Hawkins stuff. That's where we connected our first book. And then he loved the endorsement book. Like, he wrote a great endorsement for it. And an endorsement for the endorsement.
Mouthful.
But the interesting part of this is, so he went right on joy. Mm-hmm. And so I did Psalm 35, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. And when this was due mm-hmm. was when I got the 2 month. This is back in like 2021 when I went down with an upper respiratory infection for over 2 months, developed shingles, and they found that spot in the scans of my lungs.
Right, that you thought was cancer.
And I had to go in and have a bronchoscopy, and mm-hmm. it turned out to be scar tissue. But I was convinced because of all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And so I remember this was due right in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
And I was riding on joy, and I just really thought, if you want to go back to your, I don't know what you call it with the burnt toast thing, but it was a... Like, this can't be coincidence. Like, this yeah. is God's both sense of humor and sense of purpose for me that
right.
I have zero. In fact, I'm not sure this is my best writing. I tried to, he didn't want to like funny, but he like, poor David, it wasn't one thing, it was another. If he wasn't being overlooked by his own dad who paraded all his brothers before Samuel and they quote, let's pick a king sweepstakes. Dave was fighting lions and bears with his bare hands, you know, like you do. So it's that kind of tone.
Yeah.
In a Bible, you know, I'm writing this trying to be light, but
it fits in perfectly with Psalms, by the way. Just a total, not a departure at all.
No, well, that's what he wanted. He's like,
no,
hey,
I know it's funny
because it's for guys, and his vision really is that men who don't read the Bible a lot, would find this Bible accessible and come to God's word. So, but I was just like, God, this is the heaviest moment of my life, and I'm writing this. So, yeah, it was interesting. So, yeah, you can pick it up. It's going to be releasing this month. It's the Men's Daily Bible. It's the Christian Standard Bible.
You should link to it on the something.
Yeah, I can put that in there.
Let's link it in the show notes.
Check it out, pre-order, especially if you're, hey, it'd be a great gift.
It would be
Father's Day.
What's better than that?
Yeah, and I don't see anything from this, by the way. It's not like residuals or something.
No, we're not doing this because...
No.
We're doing this because John's full of himself.
This is not John making money off the Bible.
Okay, good. Yeah, all right, John. Well, it's time to go back, all the way back. This week in history, we call it Talk About Then. Now, try to accuse us. That's not stolen music, is it? It feels familiar, though, doesn't it?
It's very. It's also royalty free.
It's one of those that sounds like something
right.
that they change two notes. Yeah,
I think it's called a news desk. Actually,
is it?
I don't
okay,
know
it's fine.
There's no.
I don't know what we call it, John. This week, the first portable cell phone call was made.
Oh,
do you want to guess the year? I like these. First portable cell phone
call.
Let me give you a little bit of history background. The first portable cell phone call is made. General manager of Motorola's Communication Systems Division calls his rival at AT&T's Bell Labs from the streets of New York City.
Wow.
So that was a little bit of a...
Wow.
Do you know where I am right now? You've been burnt! Like, it's one of those, like, he's kind of a gotcha moment for this guy.
1987.
73.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Way earlier.
It was earlier than I thought, too. For
a portable
cellular call.
Interesting.
Yeah, so who knows how long before they got one that didn't cause tumors. They're like, you know, and then he burst into flames. Like, we don't know what happened to that guy.
He was using microwaves.
Yeah. John, this week, 1892, church minister John M. Scott and pharmacy co-owner Chester Platt claimed to have invented what? 1892. Keep in mind, minister and pharmacy co-owner got together on this.
Coca-Cola.
The first ice cream sundae.
Oh. They called it a Sunday.
They called it a Sunday, and I thought that was interesting that he was a minister, so that's kind of a funny tie-in. Although there are many claims as to who invented this treat, theirs is the earliest that there is documented proof of. He took out the first newspaper ad for an ice cream sundae on April 5th, 1892, in the Ithaca Daily Journal. Reportedly, he and Scott had covered dishes of ice cream with cherry syrup and candied cherries.
But
the men named the dish Cherry Sundae in honor of the day it was created. It was an immediate sensation, and Platt soon added strawberry sundaes and chocolate sundaes.
But wasn't he not supposed to work on Sunday?
Well, like, didn't this is, listen, it's not work if you love it, John. Three nice cream.
They're selling on Sunday.
Yeah.
But God, what if, and then.
So you think it flies in the face of
I'm
his
saying,
beliefs.
Like, if you hold.
Maybe he let the pharmacist do the selling, and he's like, I'm the idea man.
I'm going to go preach a sermon. I'll meet you later for my cut.
Yeah.
It's hard to cut ice cream, actually, unless it's really frozen.
That's true.
So, listen, yeah. I appreciate what he made. I'm an ice cream guy.
It's all about the distribution. You know, that chocolate syrup, if they just glom it on top, you need to be able to control I think Seinfeld talked about that. You want to be able to control that chocolate distribution.
I find the key to that is just keep a bottle of chocolate syrup.
Add two.
Every time you want more.
Yeah.
Now, listen,
that's true. We make money. Why not just buy more syrup?
Yeah.
I don't want to be controlled.
I like, and Laura laughs at this, I like the ice cream that's slightly melted.
A little
still
melting.
Cold.
Yeah.
But I like it a little melty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get a good bowl of ice cream, and I'll start, you know, kind of going around the edges where the melty parts are. Mm. There's a.
You should just wait. You could just wait. You know, mm-mm. It'll all be melted.
Can't wait. No. Once
just
it's
pour
there,
it straight in your gullet.
It has to go. You can have seconds. You can wait for seconds. How about that,
John? Finally, this week, 1908, Wrong Way Roy Riggles was born.
Oh wow.
This is when you know if we have a name Wrong Way, you know, this is going to be one of those stories.
Wow.
He was an American football player, and during the 1929 Rose Bowl,
oh, no.
He ran 65 yards the wrong way.
No.
He was stopped 6 inches from the goal line by his own teammate. A safety scored on a blocked punt the next play and caused his team to lose 8-7. So even though they stopped him, the ensuing place that they were on the field caused another bad play. This is often considered the worst blunder in college football. Although I don't know about that anymore. You see these guys, they throw the ball over their shoulder like right before they cross.
Or Leon Lett, who doesn't jump.
That was pro, but yeah. You've seen worse, but run the wrong way 65 yards probably is. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So after this, he became known as Roy Wrong Way Riggles.
Oh my goodness.
Which is a tongue twister. We've had a lot of those today. We've had a lot of tongue twisters. Wrong Way Roy Riggles.
Right. We're getting an endorsement for the endorsement.
But so have you ever, what's your worst sports blunder? Have you had we've sprained a lot of ankles. We know that.
I have broken.
We both have trick ankles.
Ankles. This wasn't in a, you know, like a game.
Yeah.
But I remember playing in, we were playing in gym.
Mm-hmm.
And all the seniors were playing. I think I was like an eighth or ninth grader. And it was like we were really into it. It was like 5-on-5 full court.
Yeah.
And everybody was watching kind of thing. And I remember it was like the time was about to run out. The bell was about to ring. And that's when the game was going to be over.
Yeah.
And we were down by 3. And we had a fast break.
Mm-hmm.
And someone threw the ball to me. And I, for some reason, just instinctively, you know, that you take a couple dribbles.
Yeah.
It threw the ball to me. I was at the 3-point line. I dribbled one step up, shot the ball, swished it at the buzzer,
and we
lost by one. And I remember the
it's
the
so
reason,
funny that you're even in your blunder, you swished a shot.
It was a great shot.
All I had to do was take a step back,
and it would have been in. In theory, but I remember like the seniors.
You might have airballed if you take a step.
I remember some senior walked up like, "What are you doing?" Like it was like he was so mad at me.
But it was just a pickup game. It wasn't for.
I know, but that stuck with me. Like a sports blunder of like, oh, and Johnny, that's a little bit of a.
They called you wrong way driver.
One step Johnny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wrong step Johnny. Two step. I don't know. It's. I'm sure there's a lot more. I'm not a great athlete. I know you're shocked to hear that.
Yeah.
Even
in your blunder, though, that you made a shot is funny to me.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, and I shot it over the backboard. It's like you just took a 2 when you should have shot
a 3.
That's
what made it so infuriating is all I had to do was try to do the right thing. And I just mentally am so used to taking that extra step just because I don't want to catch and shoot. I needed to dribble once. So,
yeah.
But,
boy. Yeah. I've never had any blunders. I've had a pretty sparkling.
I've seen your sports career.
Sterling.
I'd say the biggest blunder, too, also as a pickup thing, and you're a part of this.
Oh, boy.
Would be we were playing football at a church in Knoxville we were both serving at.
Yeah.
You know the story.
Maybe.
And we were playing tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is dumb for grown men.
With a bunch of grown
men with no pads playing tackle is
with
ridiculous.
A bunch of like 17-year-old yeah. boys who are trained, who are actually playing football.
Trained
on teams,
to kill us.
Right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, the whole thing, I remember like slow-mo, like mm-hmm. They kicked off. We kicked off to you.
Yeah.
And everyone just cleared out.
Yeah.
It was just Johnny on John.
I thought it was that I just juked and everybody fell and to the wayside.
I think they wanted to see.
There was one lone person at the goal line.
And
you were
like
5 yards from the goal line yeah. waiting on me for the open field tackle.
And you had, yes, let's say it like that. You juked everyone else in the hole.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone else
there
was just
waiting. There I was.
And everyone.
I picked up considerable speed.
And so you were not a small guy.
No. I was probably 280 then.
And I'm, I would say then about 170.
Yeah.
And I go down to tackle you. And I bounce off of you.
I think I just lowered my shoulder and just drove over you.
It was as if...
I had time to look down at you and then just walk.
It looked like one of those cartoons where something just kind of hits something and bounces off into the air, into the atmosphere or whatever. It was like, boing! And like, and the kids were merciless.
They loved it.
It was the greatest thing.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was great. I mean, like, I just got clobbered by you, and it was like, and that's when I knew, like, don't mess with Johnny. I promise. You do not want to try to tackle Johnny.
I wonder about that. Like, I wonder, you think about something like that. Would it be fun? Because if I was a tight end, it's fun to be, like, hard to bring down.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that's necessarily true. They just go at your legs, and, there's bigger guys that would tackle me.
You're like the Travis Kelce podcast.
I've been saying it for years. I never knew what it meant as a kid because he hadn't even been born yet.
Right.
But
now you know.
Now I know that I'm
Travis Kelce has a podcast. But that's,
that's true.
You're like the Ron Gronkowski.
He's a very successful podcaster.
You ever noticed the Ron Gronkowski?
Rob, sorry. Yeah.
Gronkowski commercials.
Yeah.
I think he is intentionally being a bad actor.
Yeah, and he kind of leans into being a knucklehead, and people love it.
Those USAA commercials.
People love him
because
he's so authentic. He's authentically a knucklehead.
With the USAA commercials.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's the worst I've ever seen.
It's bad acting.
But it's like almost like they did it on purpose.
But he's still charming.
He's like, no, I didn't serve, but yeah. Check out these flowers. Like he just does some weird cheesy yeah. thing at the camera and you're like.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, maybe that.
I think he'd be fun to hang out with though.
You know what? Let's invite him. And I'm not calling him a bad actor.
Why do you hate Rob Gronkowski?
I think that Rob, well, obviously, I knew his name and everything.
We're trying to make enemies over here?
I think maybe Rob, again, I think he's doing it on purpose.
We'd love to have you on the show, Rob.
Rob, come on, man. You know you've been thinking about it.
You're a great person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's...
I think that's it. We covered it all today.
I think you're right. What else is there?
Everything that could be talked about was talked about.
We've alienated Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
We've talked about your extensive sports exploits.
Ugh.
What is the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat?
Speaking of, I just got to say one more thing.
What's that?
And I'm sorry.
Oh.
But Tennessee basketball
went to the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, the furthest we've ever been.
And we're a few minutes away from being a Final Four team.
Yeah.
But we kind of just lost steam. I knew when we got in foul trouble early that it was going to be a problem.
I know you're going to roll your eyes at me.
No. You think there was too many fouls called on Edie. Right?
I mean, they shot like 44 free throws.
Yeah.
And we shot.
They shot a lot.
We shot like 20.
Some of those were us trying to extend the game. So, there's probably 10 of those where we were trying to extend the game.
Yeah, but if you go back, he got called for one foul the whole game.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's so many videos out there of him just elbowing our guys right in the face, which, by the way, is a flagrant one.
Yeah.
But, and all the coaches even said heading up to it, the refs don't know how to call.
Right. It's like Shaq. Even. They don't know how to officiate him.
He's 7'4".
Right.
So they don't know what to do. So if our guys did anything,
mm-hmm.
anything, they called a foul. And if he did anything, they didn't.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating.
Tough. I do think that they had the better game plan and they were the better team that day. Plus, when we had, we just didn't shoot well. We didn't, except for Connect. He had a great game.
If Adu would have had his 15,
Sakai,
we lost by 6.
Zakai was 1-for-10 or something like
that. Has Zakai 9. If he'd have had his normal like 17 on a game like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so it was a tough game, but I just feel like we lost to the better team with the better game plan that day. And I didn't feel some kind of way about it. Like we didn't go into it knowing what to do. I just feel like, well, Purdue was better that day. I just didn't feel like we could blame the refs, I guess, but
not blaming refs. Even yeah. Barnes said that he said it's hard. It's hard. The refs are not. They don't know how to call.
When you know the officiating is going a certain way, you have to make an adjustment to how they're officiating.
Yeah,
the game.
That's their whole game plan. You can't adjust, or they're going to call a foul every time you try to guard their best player who had 40 points. Like that's the whole. That's how they won the game.
Well, our best player almost had 40.
Yeah, 37.
Yeah.
And I wish Kinect had one more year. You know, he actually said that. He wishes he had. He loves Barnes and loves the team so much.
I don't know, man.
So now Josiah is done.
Yeah.
Out of eligibility. Connect's done. And Vescovy, who, by the way, Vescovy now leads Tennessee history in steals.
Now the story to me is NC State.
Mm-hmm.
We already watched. I made Curry watch the 30 for 30 yesterday because we're all day stuck in because of the storms here. So I was like, I want us to watch Survive in Advance, which is the 30 for 30 about Volano.
Jimmy P.
And it's the best one.
Yeah.
It's the best 30 for 30 because it's just like, you're just bawling, but it's so good. You're just smiling for these kids. You can't believe what they overcame. Every game was a nail biter.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have even made the tournament that year.
I know.
It's crazy. So this team this year is kind of like them. They're an 11 seed. And I love it. They got that kid. Was it DJ Burns?
DJ Burns. Great. Who, by the way, played for Tennessee.
Great.
And transferred after his freshman
to
year.
To me, he's the face of the tournament right now because he's just amazing. He's a big boy.
I mean, he's 320 every
bit. He's a big boy.
And you think he can't do that. I watched him go up and get hit in midair, made the shot like a guard, and went to the – I mean, fell to the hardwood.
Yeah.
300-plus pounds going to the hardwood from midair, and he popped right up laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so agile for his size.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what kind of pro he'll become because I wonder if they'll try to get some of that weight. I mean, after you see what happened with Zion Williamson, they'll definitely try to get some of that weight off of him. But I just think, what a great personality.
Yeah,
what an easy team to root for. And now all the blue bloods are kind of out of it. You know, Duke's not in it. North Carolina's not in it. And here's this NC State team. It's like Valvano all over again. I hope they win it all. I don't see it, but I hope they do it.
I do have to say, I'm not happy that Alabama's in the Final Four.
Yeah.
They didn't win the SEC tournament or the regular season. We won it. And we beat them twice.
Yeah.
And so in their path, they had to beat North Carolina, the one seed, which was the worst one seed in there, who barely got the one seed. We had to face the second best one seed.
Yeah.
And so their path to Final Four had them going through six seed Clemson. Mm-hmm. Our path as the two seed, a higher seed than them, had ours going through one seed Purdue. And that's why you need that one seed, because if you don't get a one seed, you got to play a one seed to make it to the Final Four.
And that was the segment that everyone skimmed over. Thanks for listening.
I am proud of the team. It was a great season
because this team was not expected to do any of this. So.
Well, no one knew Kinect was going to be the. I mean, he's still up for National Player of the Year. He'll be second probably to ED. That's the. But he is SEC Player of the Year. Zakai was Defensive SEC Player of the
Year. Well, and he made himself a lot of money. That's the thing. He didn't maybe get the NIL dollars, but I mean, he's going to go. He'll be a draft.
He'll be a first round.
He'll be a first round draft.
He'll be top 10.
Yeah.
They're saying now, probably.
And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to have a Tennessee player and be a number one.
So, all you transfers out there, look, Rick Barnes took the guy. And made him a defender and coached him hard. And now he's going to have an NBA career and he didn't have one before. Mm-hmm. Guys, Tennessee has some openings for those top-notch transfers.
Listen, there's some playing time for you here at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah. So give me a call. That's
We'll put John's number in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny, if people really did want to, though, contact us.
Yes.
We've already said this, but maybe they missed that because they skipped through it.
Hello at talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Hello.
put it in all caps, please. Yeah. No exclamation point. Yeah, they can send us a note. We love hearing from you guys. And don't forget to leave a review.
Yeah.
And 5 stars if you feel led. And that helps people find the show.
Here's the thing. If you don't feel led, we're the ones leading you to do it.
Yes.
Right now.
Our leading as...
You're being led, so whether you feel it or not, just leave 5 stars.
We are the burnt toast that's going to make you slow down.
If you're sitting around going, should I give a 4? Should I give a 5? What are you really doing with your life?
What's that
it's
one,
a podcast.
What do we got to do? We could say something to get that extra star. Let's pretend we already said
it. Pretend we did it. Yeah. Like, you're overthinking this. Like, you need to probably stop and think about real decisions in life more. This one should be so easy.
Right. Maybe we are the burnt, but what's so bad about burnt toast? Just eat it.
Yeah.
It's Cajun.
People in the world would love to have burnt toast.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful.
So leave us a 5-star. We don't want you to feel pressured, but if that didn't help, then maybe a little pressure.
We need more pressure in life. We don't put enough pressure on ourselves.
I think it was Mother Teresa who said,
pressure makes diamonds.
And burnt toast is good for the soul. She has such wisdom.
That's fake news. We apologize to Mother Teresa and her family.
We actually didn't say this. That was a deep fake.
Yes. Was made. This whole show.
An audio deep
AI
fake.
AI produced.
I would love to see what AI would... AI, generate an episode of Talk About That.
Yeah.
Using John and Johnny's voices.
They couldn't do it. There's no way they could know where we're
no
going to go.
No one could. Yeah. We don't even know we're going to
do. No, we don't.
So, yeah, check it out. Hey, check out Johnny's socials as well at Johnny, JONNIEW.com, or just, man, go look for him on Instagram, on the Facebook.
Yes, sir.
And lots of people follow Johnny because he puts out great content. He's a good follow. So
tour dates popping up.
Everywhere.
I'm headed out on the Eclipse tour this weekend. Mm. Going out to be right in the path of totality.
Yeah.
It's going to be something. Hope I make it back. You'll know because next week there won't be an episode if I don't make it back.
And I'll have to put some other...
I'll be stuck in traffic.
I'll have to put that co-host that's been waiting in the wings all these years. I'm finally going to let them in.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you who it is, but they're pretty spectacular.
Great.
Just waiting on Johnny to get caught up in the Eclipse. You should check it out, though, man. It's going to be fun. What a fun week. Go see Johnny live if you haven't seen him. It's great. And it really is Johnny. Johnny, I mean that.
Oh,
you're my favorite
show.
That's fun. I know the jokes usually... And I laugh every time. I do.
You had to throw in a... You hadn't written a new joke in 10 years.
No, no. You always have new ones.
Okay.
I'm just saying I know...
You know some of the beats.
Often you're trying them out on me, Johnny.
That's true.
So, by the way, I sent a joke into our community group this week, which I thought...
fell a little flat.
Well, it's not that. I wanted it to fall flat.
Oh,
I see. It's a humorist.
Oh, right.
But it was...
I can't remember it.
It was a... Hold on. Oh, I thought about buying a coat of mail, but then I realized... that ancient armor isn't my strong suit. Is this thing on?
Not for much longer.
I guess I'll leave you with that. Hey, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.